Recorded Books presents This Time Next Year We'll Be Laughing, a memoir by Jacqueline Winspear, narrated by the author. For my brother, John James Winspear, and in memory of our late parents, Albert Frederick and Joyce Margaret Winspear, my heroes. Childhood is, or has been, or ought to be, the great original adventure, a tale of privation, courage, constant vigilance, danger, and sometimes calamity. Michael Chabon, Manhood for Amateurs. Prologue. It was our third visit to A&E, the accident and emergency department at the local hospital. The aggressive blood disorder that had been claiming my father's life day by day was bringing us to our knees. Months of regular transfusions were now wreaking havoc on every bone in his body. My mother was snappy, her temper breaking down faster than his veins, and I was doing all I could to care for them both, desperate to keep the ship on an even keel, even as it was crashing against the rocks. My brother, John, was still trying to come to terms with what was happening. Only a few months earlier, Dad had hiked for hours with John in the mountains near his home in Ojai, California. And my strong, sturdy father had kept up a young man's pace, not even broken a sweat. His doctor had always said, "Mr. Winspear, you're one of the fittest men I see here in my practice, and I don't mean for your age." We had all felt quite smug. Those Winspear genes were pretty darn good, weren't they? Annette, the senior hematology nurse who'd been our point person from day one, had called the house earlier that morning. "How are you all holding up?" she asked. "Not so great," I replied, feeling as if I were letting the side down. We didn't admit defeat in our family. I explained that Dad was being stoic. Mum was by turns sarcastic and argumentative, then compassionate and caring. "And you?" she asked. I shrugged, as if she were there with me. "I'm all right, Annette, but..." "No, you're not, Jackie. I can hear it in your voice. You're exhausted. It's time you all had a break. Let's get your dad in for a transfusion and some pain meds, and I'll arrange for his transfer to the hospice for respite care. Give you all a chance to draw a breath. But you must tell him we're not packing him off to hospice to die. Just for respite. The ambulance will be with you in about 20 minutes, and I'll be down there in A&E to meet you when you arrive." I told my mother to get ready to leave, then went to my parents' room and knelt alongside my father's bed. "Dad, it's just for respite care, a bit of a break. You'll get a transfusion at the hospital, that'll perk you up, and they'll give you something stronger for that pain in your back. I'll be with you all the time, Dad. Mum's just getting dressed." I helped my dad get up from the bed and steadied him as he made his way to the bathroom. I put out a fresh, iron shirt, his best trousers, and one of his favorite jackets. His leather shoes were polished. Dad was a dapper man, and unless he was working in the garden, he always wanted to be well turned out. Even at 17, when he was first conscripted into the army, he took the uniform to a local tailor for alteration because he didn't like the cut. And now, though he could barely stand, he insisted upon dressing himself. No, he didn't want help from anyone, and certainly no one else could pull off that all-important Windsor knot in his tie. At the hospital, my father was wheeled into a cubicle, where Annette took his hand and explained to us that they were just getting a quarantine room ready for him because A&E is full of people coming in with all sorts of germs, and we don't want your dad catching anything. Then she said she'd like a moment alone with my father. I watched from a distance as Annette sat next to my dad, their heads almost touching while she spoke to him. I've wondered if this was the moment she told him, "Albert, it's almost time." I imagine it might have been. In the quarantine room, my mother and I sat on either side of Dad's bed. I watched as blood and platelets drip, drip, dripped into my father's arm, his shirt sleeves rolled up, his tie removed. He lay on top of the bed linens, and I remember thinking, he's such a smart, dear,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?